So, all right, if you could open up your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, we'll get serious now for a few minutes. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. So we've been looking at some of the flawed kings, some of the little k kings, some of those leaders that God used. I mean, God can only use us, mankind, and I'm so thankful that he does. And even when he uses us, even in spite of our faults and our flaws, some people do a fantastic job. They follow the Lord and they make right and wise decisions, and we can learn from those decisions that they made and how they set themselves up for doing right. And then we have some people who just turned their back on God and did not obey him and did what they wanted to do. But either way, in how they were faithful and in their flaws, we can learn from both of those. So, like Romans 15, verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. These things that were written in the past, these things that had happened and been and done, we can learn from them. We can learn from all of them, and we can have hope through them. So the first king we looked at Rehoboam. He was the first king in that divided nation. Remember, he was one who did not have, he had a divided heart. He didn't have a heart perfect and following after God. Remember, he had a son. His son's name was Asa, and Asa only reigned for 3 years. Just a very short reign that he had. And then he had a son we looked at last week. Remember his name? His name was Asa. And Asa was a good king. Asa reigned for a long time. Asa reigned for 41 years. That's a long time, Think about that's basically how long I've been alive. I'm 42, but could you imagine having one of our leaders, a president, reigning for that long? Hey, if he was following after God and making good and wise decisions, yes, absolutely. Let's have that leader for that long of a time. And thankfully, Asa was that kind of leader for about 35 years. About 35 years, and then kind of, the wagon fell off, and about the last, 5-6 years, Some problems happened. He didn't follow the Lord like he should have. So this morning we're going to look at Jehoshaphat. Let's look at, what did I tell you? Chapter 20? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's jump to chapter 20 and let's look at the summary verse for Jehoshaphat's life. We see this with every king, and let's look at it for Jehoshaphat. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 32. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the Lord God of their fathers. Jehoshaphat, he was a good king. He was a good king. Could you imagine this being said about you, that he departed not from doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord? Imagine, if someone was giving the eulogy at your funeral, or let's just say God was giving the eulogy at your funeral, and he got up to say that you did not depart from his ways throughout your time. Wow, that would be something. It'd be something if somebody said that about you, but to have God say that about you, boy, what truer testimony. Now, did Jehoshaphat was he perfect in all of his life? Did he not make a mistake? No, he made a couple mistakes, but the overall summary of his life was one that followed God wholly. He was wholly after God. He didn't do everything right, but he overall did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So we're going to look at Jehoshaphat the pleaser. The pleaser. And say, who did he please? Who did he please? Well, that's kind of the question with the story. So there's shining moments in his life where he did that which was right. We'll see some great examples where, wow, he really stepped up and made a great decision to follow after the Lord. And then there's some times where he was wanting to please mankind and really escaped with his life. If it wasn't for the grace of God, he should have died. He should have died. But for the grace of God in his life, he was allowed to live. So there's times when he wanted people to like him. And during those times, and we'll see that, he took a deep dive in his life. He was doing great, and then he wanted to please somebody and just took a bad turn. And those are some things that we can learn from today, because oftentimes maybe you have that issue, or you want to please somebody. You want somebody to like you or to approve of you. Or some people, I don't want to make waves with this. I just, let's just all be calm and let's all get along. That's kind of how Jehoshaphat was. Jehoshaphat the pleaser. So let's look back in chapter 17, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse number 1. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. So Asa has died. Now Jehoshaphat is the king, and what do we see here first? We see days of strength. Days of strength in Jehoshaphat's kingdom. What is he doing here in verse number 1? He's strengthening himself against Israel. What happened? You know what happened 4 years before Jehoshaphat became king of Judah? You know who started to reign in Israel? Ahab. Ahab started to reign. And boy, what a wicked, wicked king Ahab was. You know what he did? Him and his wife. Now, if you think Ahab was bad, wait till you meet his wife. She was even worse. What did they do? They brought in Baal worship into Israel. And they just promoted that, especially Jezebel did. And just all the problems. And Jehoshaphat could see that. He could see that in Israel, this was happening. So what did he do? And this, he strengthened himself against Israel. Hey, there's some worshiping of idols going on over here. That's not right. They're not serving the Lord. They're following after things that are wrong, idolatrous in their ways, sacrificing in ways that they shouldn't be. So he takes effort to strengthen himself against that. I wonder if in our lives, if we see something, if we can see out in the world just the temptations of the devil, all the ways that the world is trying to reach into our lives, are we recognizing that? Are we aware of that? Because Jehoshaphat was aware of that. He could see it and say, oh, there's a problem. And he took steps to fortify his nation against what was going on in Israel. He did a great thing like that. So he strengthened himself against Israel. Let's look at verse number 2. Let's look at 2 through 6. Let's see. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. So Jehoshaphat's doing some great things. What a great testimony of an amazing servant of God. And all of these, in these verses, 2 through 6, there's all the things that he's doing to help his people. And the problems that he sees out there, and all the ways that he's trying to strengthen them. So just a couple of things that we see here. The first thing he did was strengthened himself against Israel. He recognized the real enemies that his people had, the real enemy that was out there, the idol worship, and all of those temptations and those trials that were out there, he recognized them. You know what? We need to recognize, I kind of said this a minute ago, but recognize the real enemies in our lives. Because they're real. They're real. The devil's been doing this game for a long time, and he's got a whole collection, a library collection, about how to deal with people. He knows all of Chester. He knows you. He's seen 10 of you before you came along, and he knows somebody who has your desires and what pricks your heart, and maybe some temptations that you have. He sees you, and he knows exactly how to get you. He knows exactly how to get all of us, and it's so easy for us to fall. It's so easy to make a mistake. How hard is it to, for the rest of the day, just live sinless? If it was easy, it's not easy. It's hard to do. We just make one mistake, and then the next mistake gets compounded and compounded, and before you know, you turn around and say, where am I? I am so lost. I am so far from God. Jehoshaphat took effort to recognize these things and to strengthen himself against Israel. I wonder, are we protecting our families against the evil influences that are out there? because they're out there. They're out there. You know, just open the door, drive with your windows down in the summertime. All the music that's going on, just when you pull up to a red light, you know, everything that's going on there, when you're in the shopping store, the commercials that are on TV, the stuff that comes up on your feed, on your phone, like that's, where did that come from? All of these things, just constantly bombarding. We need to be aware of those things. So Jehoshaphat strengthened himself against Israel. And then we saw in verse number 3, and this is probably my favorite thing that God says about Jehoshaphat. He walked in the first ways of his father David. The first ways. He walked, David was a good man. He lived a long life. But here he says he followed after the first ways of David. Not his whole life, but his first ways. So what did he do in the, what are the first ways of David? What's different from the first ways of David versus to the latter part of his life? What's the difference there? What was he doing in the beginning? In the beginning, what was he? He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. He was a young boy out in the field watching the sheep. What was he doing out in the field? He was writing some psalms. He was writing some psalms out there. What else was he doing? He was protecting his flock against the bear, the lion. And what else did he took down Goliath, you know, a young boy who didn't fear what was in front of him. Lord, you can take care of this for me. And went out there and did exactly what God wanted him to do. Lord, the battle is yours. The battle is yours. With a perfect heart, he did those things. With a tender heart. Even when he ran from Saul for all of that time, he ran, and he had opportunity to kill Saul on a few different occasions, but he didn't take advantage of him. His heart was right. His heart was right toward the Lord. Now that also shows that just because somebody makes a mistake, because when you think of David, Bathsheba, you know, David, Uriah, David, the adulterer, you know, and his family, you think about his family. And his kids. You think about his son, Absalom. You know, he pretty much divided the kingdom. They went out, and then he was trying to kill him. And what a mess that was. And boy, David, a man after God's own heart. Boy, but he did some things that were right. And here, Jehoshaphat is following after the first ways of David. So just because somebody has some problems in their life, doesn't make them unfollowable. Corinthians 11, verse number 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me." Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Hey, you can follow me as I'm following Christ. If I'm not following Christ, hey, then don't follow me. Then don't follow me. So we need to be careful of those things. But it's such a blessing to see. Here's a man who's following God after the first ways of David, with that tender heart, with that genuine heart, trying to seek the Lord and do everything he can. So, and Jehoshaphat, when he started at the age of 35 years old. 35 years old, and he reigned until he was 60 years old when he died. So he reigned for 25 years. 25 years. And I think about the previous king that we had just talked about, Asa. Remember, Asa did right for 35 years, and about the last 6 years did that which was not right. So I think about Jehoshaphat seeing his father do right for 30 years. His father did right for 30 years, but then the last 5 years of his father's reign didn't do right. Didn't do right at all. He really fell away from the Lord. Remember, he got a disease in his feet, and he wouldn't call a doctor. That's all he did was call the doctors. He wouldn't reach out to the Lord. And here Jehoshaphat saw that. He saw a father who did right, and then he saw a father that did wrong. And how did that impact him? How did that impact him? He didn't follow what his father did wrong. He took from the first 30 years. Even though he saw his own father make some poor decisions, make some mistakes, fall away from the Lord, he said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that." To me, that's such a, let's say, the power of your testimony to your children is huge. Is huge, especially teenagers. You know, in that transitional portion of their life when they're trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to serve myself and, you know, have a career? Or, you know, just go off and do what I want? It is so important that our children see in us a good example of somebody who's following after the Lord. Here's Jehoshaphat, who saw both ways. And he saw someone who did right, and then he saw later that same person do wrong. And which one did he do? Thankfully, he chose to do right. But usually, how do we remember things? We remember the last thing. Easy. You know, if I was to, we've all maybe had that memory game where somebody reads, you know, 20 things. You usually remember the first one, and you remember the last one. You know, that's how I usually get it. And the last thing he saw his father do was wrong. But the first 30 years was enough impact on his life. Hey, I'm going to do right. I'm going to serve the Lord when it's my turn. So he strengthened himself against Israel. He walked in the first ways of David, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He served God with his passion. It was his passion. In verse number 6, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. That's what drove him. That's what he wanted. Every day when he got up, that's what he was all about. Remember, we looked at that a few weeks ago in Deuteronomy chapter 17, where it was a command. It was commanded to the king of Israel that he was to do what? To read the Bible every day. But not only to read the Bible every day, but to copy out his own copy of the Bible. He was to write out the Bible himself and to read that every day. He was to be in it. And that was a huge motivation behind Jehoshaphat. What does the Lord want me to do? And he was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Psalms 40, verse number 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea. Let me turn there, because I wrote it, and I wrote it down wrong. Psalm 40, verse number 8. Psalm 40, verse number 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I wonder, do we delight to do thy will? Do we delight to do the law of the Lord? Or, you know, what is it that drives you? What delights you? What is it that, you know, when you get up, tomorrow morning, maybe you have to go to work tomorrow. Hopefully you have some time off to rest and relax over this crazy holiday season. But you know, is it just about making money? Is it about accomplishing a goal? You know, what is it? What is it that drives you? What is it? I was learning about some astronauts. There's this one, his name is Chris Hadfield. He was a Canadian astronaut. He had a great story behind his life, because when he was 9 years old and he said, I want to be an astronaut. You know what? At that time there was no such thing as a Canadian space program. There was no such thing as a Canadian astronaut. They did not have a program, and yet he said, I want to be an astronaut. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but then through the rest of his life, and it talks about when he's older, when he's about to graduate from high school, he says, what am I going to do today to accomplish my goal? To accomplish being an astronaut someday. What am I going to read today? What am I going to learn today? What am I going to put into my body today that will help me be an astronaut? What am I going to do? I wonder, are we doing that? Are we every day trying to seek the Lord and grow closer to Him? Or are we just kind of floating along? You know, just go with the flow, and you know, as life comes, and you know, this issue comes and that issue comes, and we'll read and we'll seek the Lord here and there, maybe when a problem comes up. Or are we just fully devoted to seeking the Lord and lifting up His ways in our life? Or is it just today's Sunday, tomorrow's Monday, just a routine? How easy. I love routines. Just how I am. Just love it, and we just get caught up in that. Just get caught up in life. But really, what drives you? What drives you? It's so important. What delights you? But people who have a heart for God, you know what they do? They remove idols from their life. They remove idols from their life. Hey, look, if I'm going to be seeking the Lord with all of my heart, and then I see something in my life that's a distraction or pulling me aside, if I'm really driven towards following Him and serving Him, I'm going to get rid of that thing. I'm going to get rid of that. Whatever that idol is, that temptation, and those idols, that can be anything. They can be, you know, your job. They can be another person. They can be television. They can be your phone. All of these things, you know, all these that people just pay so much attention to, and they just get caught up in those things and just get pulled aside. Jehoshaphat didn't do that. He lifted up, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. God was the only one that was sitting on his heart. the only one. There wasn't a constant struggle for the throne of his heart. God was the only one there, the only one. So, chapter 17, we see the days of strength. We see that he strengthened himself against Israel. He walked in the ways of his father David. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And then he mobilized the priests of Judah. In verses 7 through 9, you know what he did? You know, he had his own copy of the Bible. He loved the Bible. He loved the Word of God. He would pray to God and worship him. But he's like, I love God. I know about God. But my people don't have this. They don't have, you know, this is, you know, way before the days of the printing press or, you know, when we had, you know, who has less than, you know, five Bibles in their home, you know? And there's so many. And in different manner, you know, on your computer, on your phone, on your tablet, they're, you know, it is so accessible. They didn't have that back then. People didn't have that at all. So you know what he did through these verses? He mobilized the priests and he sent them throughout all the land of Judah to teach everybody. He wanted everybody to know God. He wanted everybody to know God through his word. It's so important that because that's how you learn about God, through his word, through his word. And you can get some things from hearing the preaching of his word proclaimed, but just, we all need a time where we get into his word and let his word speak right to us. You know, I've been in the sitting in the pew, and it feels like I'm the only one there. Anybody ever feel like that? I know we used to have, remember the tent meetings we used to have out here? I remember that. What a blessing those were. We had two preachers, pretty much, Brother Jim McGahee and Brother Clay Reed. Both of those men, I loved very dearly. Brother McGahee had a real good, you know, this low amen that he would do. Remember Jesse Willard liked to impersonate that. And then Brother Reed, he had, you know, his father, Sam Reed, was the youth pastor for Pastor Huber for a long time. I think he actually lived at their house and all that really helped him. And whenever Clay Reed would preach, I would feel like I am, you know, right here. You know, it's just to me. Nobody else is there. I don't know what it was, but it was just like right on the same wavelength and everything was right to me. Right to me. I've listened to many of his messages again and again and again from those tent meetings, and what a blessing they are. So it's important that we get to know God through his word, through his word. The new year is almost here. Maybe it can be a New Year's resolution to, hey, I'm going to get through my Bible this year. I'm going to study it, or just be faithful to it, whatever you do. If it's reading through, if it's, I'm just going to study this, but I'm going to do it every day. Do it every day and make it a priority. How easy is it to get up in the morning and then you grab your phone and you check and then it's an hour later and like, whoa, where did that time go? You know, just the wasting, boy, hey, when I get up, I'm going to do this. I'm going to study. I'm going to, the first thing in the morning when we don't have all the distractions. So, all right, so we had days of strength. Now we see days of compromise in chapter 18, days of compromise. So let's look at verse number 1. Now Jehoshaphat, we're going to get through 17, 18, 19, and 20. So it's kind of a different day on the calendar. So we're going to be here till about 6. I got the room reserved. Gotcha. The Sutliffs are catering lunch. So who thinks I'm kidding? Who knows I'm kidding? Who wishes I wasn't kidding? Where's my wife? I need her here. So. She's in junior church. So let's look at chapter 18, verse number 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Boy. So he has all of these. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Boy, what a blessing that is. To have, just say, he was physically blessed with riches. God honored him with the decisions that he had made and had blessed him with riches. Boy, it's good that when we make decisions to follow the Lord, he can supply our physical needs that we might have. And hey, you can say, we all have physical needs. You know, money helps. You know, if you have nothing, you can't do much of anything. And the Lord provides in so many ways. And he provided here for Jehoshaphat in abundance. But what does he do? He joins affinity with Ahab. We'll get into this a little bit next week, but it looks like there was a marriage between Jehoshaphat's son and Ahab's daughter. We'll get into that a little bit next week. So maybe that's kind of maybe how they kind of came together. So, you know, here he's hooking up with this man who's not serving God, who's not honoring him. And he goes up to, we'll just kind of tell the story of chapter 18 because it's kind of long. So he goes up to Israel to see Ahab. Ahab, I'm sure, invites him up. And he's, you know, wining and dining him. And he's got all of these, you know, special thrones for them. And they're there and they're having a good time. And Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, "Hey, Jehoshaphat, the Syrians, you know, just to the north here, they're a bit of a problem for us. And they're a problem for you, too. So how about we join up together and we go fight the Syrians? What do you think?" And Jehoshaphat says, "Yes, let's do it." Without thinking about it, without asking the Lord what he should do, "Yep, let's get him. I'm with you. Let's go get him." But then, do you ever say yes to something and then immediately be like, "Ugh, shouldn't have done that." You know, not talking about your marriage this morning, but shouldn't have done that. It was a joke. My wife's not here. She probably had a twitch to raise her hand out of a sudden, but you know how your ears ring when somebody's talking about you. But he says, "Hey, how about we do this, Ahab? How about we ask the Lord? How about we ask the Lord what we should do in this situation?" So Ahab says, "Hey, great idea, Jehoshaphat. Wonderful idea. Hey," and what does he do? He calls in some of his 400 prophets. His 400 prophets of God, right? The prophets of God. No, they're really prophets of Ahab that just tell Ahab what he wants to hear. Because Ahab loves people who tell him what he wants to hear. So they come in, and they're sitting there on their thrones, and Ahab says to the 400 prophets, "All right, men, you all know that I want to go up against Ramoth and Gilead and fight against them, but Jehoshaphat here wants to know what the Lord says we should do. So what does the Lord want us to do?" And the 400 prophets say, "Yes, go up. Go up and fight against them." Great. Great. All right, let's do it. But Jehoshaphat smells a rat. He smells a rat. And he says, "Ahab, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else that we can ask? I know we heard from your 400 prophets, but is there anybody else that we can ask?" And Ahab says, "Oh, well, yeah, there is this one other guy. His name is Micaiah, but I hate him. I hate him because he never tells me what I want to hear." Look at it in verse number 7. "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah." So he's like, and Jehoshaphat says, "That's the guy. Let's bring him in." So Micaiah comes in, and they ask him. King Ahab says, "All right, I want to go up and fight against Ramoth Gilead. What should we do?" And Micaiah says, "Hey, go ahead, fight him. You will prosper." And Ahab says, wait a minute. You never tell me what I want to hear. What am I supposed to do?" And Micaiah says, "The truth? You want the truth?" Because I feel like the first time he said it really sarcastically. "You want the truth? The truth is, if you go and fight against them, you're going to die and your army's going to be scattered. That's what's going to happen." So you know what happens? They go against. They go up and fight against the Syrians. They go up to Ramoth and Gilead. You'd think when Jehoshaphat saw that, you know, Jehoshaphat had kind of smelled the rat and was concerned about when these 400 all agreed and said, "Yes, go." And then when the prophet of God says, "If you're going to go, you're going to die, and your army's going to be scattered." But what does he do? He goes along anyways. He goes along anyways. If he had a suspicion before, it was confirmed by Micaiah's testimony. "Hey, you're going to be defeated. You're going to die." But what does Ahab do? Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, "Hey, I know this Micaiah guy. He's kind of a kook. So this is what I'm going to do. He says I'm going to die. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to dress up like one of the regular soldiers. So just kind of disguise myself. But you, Jehoshaphat, I think you should dress up still as the king. You be the king, and then we'll go up." And Jehoshaphat says, "Okay, you know, like really?" So they go off and they're fighting against the Syrians. And the Syrians, they set out, their goal is to go after the king of Israel. That's the only thing they're concerned about in that battle. So they're fighting against him, and Jehoshaphat sees the men, they see him dressed up as the king. So they think Jehoshaphat is the king of Israel. But he's not. He's the king of Judah. So they start chasing after him, and he's like, I'm not the king. I'm not Ahab. I'm not him. And I don't know how long that happened, but he was able to escape out of their hand. So, and Ahab is just, you know, they're dressed up as a regular soldier. And then the Bible says one of the soldiers of the Assyrians just took his bow and launched an arrow. Wasn't really aiming at anything, just at a venture, just shot. And that arrow came right down into Ahab. The Bible says, like in the where his armor joined together. I don't know if it was in his chest, maybe like somewhere. And Ahab dies. Ahab dies. And so what does Jehoshaphat do? He turns and runs back home to Jerusalem. Runs back home to Jerusalem. And when he's getting back to Jerusalem, the prophet is out there and said, hey, Jehoshaphat, the Lord wants to have a word with you. And let's look at chapter number 19. Let's look at chapter 19, verse number 1. Well, we saw the days of strength, and then in chapter 18, the days of compromise, and then in chapter 19 here, we see the days of repentance. Days of repentance. Chapter 19 and verse number 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord. And so what's going on here? The prophet comes to him and says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you trying to help somebody who hates God? Why it's like you're trying to please God and man at the same time. Just trying to please everybody. And that's pretty much who Jehoshaphat was. He was the pleaser. Just trying to help them out. And how does Jehoshaphat respond? I mean, how do you respond when somebody comes to you and says and points out a problem in your life? Hey, you're getting mixed up in the world, and you're trying to serve God at the same time. How do we respond when that happens? Oftentimes, you know, the defensive wall goes up. You know, the hair stands up on the back of your head. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, or maybe you get right for a little bit, and then you know you just get sucked right back into it. You know, those temptations of the world draw you back, and just because of our wicked, sinful flesh. Boy, it's just on a downward trend the whole time, and it is a fight every day to do what's right. So, but what does Jehoshaphat do? You know what Jehoshaphat does? He repents. He repents. You know what he does? And pretty much for the rest of chapter 19, he gathers these judges together and sends them out into the land. Remember before he had sent out the Levites, the priests into the land to teach people the word of God? You know, it's not just enough to know the word of God. We need to know what to do with God's word in the right situation, in a real-time situation. So he sends these judges out to help the people when they come to a point in their life, when there's a problem in their life. Let's say there's a debt that they owe somebody, or they were wronged in some way, something like that, a decision that needs to be made so that they could make right choices that are based upon the word of God. He sends these judges out to help them. He tells the judges, hey, don't take any bribes. Don't do any of that. You're just there to help the people. You're there to help the people make good decisions by discernment, having discernment in certain ways. And that's so important. That's so important to, you know, what do I do in this? I don't know what to do. And just, if you're in a situation like that, pray to God for discernment. Show me, and take some time. Don't make a rush decision. Take some time. And that's what he had sent these judges out to do, to help the people with that. Often, you know, especially in our lives, you know, it's a good thing to have an accountability partner. Maybe somebody, some honest, objective person in your life that you can talk to and you can say, hey, I am struggling with this issue in my life. I have a real problem with bitterness or with pride. And just to let that person talk to you and be honest with them and help them and let them help you. Hey, and just to talk through situations and that, God had provided these judges to these people to help them have discernment and make good decisions when problems came up. So Jehoshaphat did right. He repented of his ways when he joined up with Ahab. And you know what God gives him? God gives him one final test in chapter 20. And really, trials, they are really good indicators in our life of who we are and who we're made of. I mean, you can be doing great, just flowing downstream. Boy, but when that wind starts coming up, and that's what's gonna, and the waves start kicking up, that's what's gonna show what the ship is made of. Is it just gonna flop right over? Do you have anything behind you, or is it all just, you know, I just listen to what Brother Locke says, just sugar-coated messages all the time? Or do you have your feet firmly planted in the foundation of the Lord? These trials are good indicators. So chapter 20, there's I'll just pretty much summarize the chapter again. So Jehoshaphat is reigning in Judah, and one day a messenger comes to his door. And the messenger tells him that, hey, the people of Ammon, Moab, and the people of Mount Seir, which is an ancient name for the Edomites, they're coming to attack us. They're coming to attack us. And you know what? They've already crossed over on this side of the Dead Sea. You know, they're about 15 miles away from Jerusalem. That's horrible news. We are outmanned. We are outgunned. We are going to be destroyed here. And all, if you look at a map, modern-day Jordan is pretty much the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites. Those three nations, they're coming to attack Israel. So what does Jehoshaphat do? What would you do? You know, it's, all right, let's fortify the people, get all the soldiers together, bring everybody into the keep, you know, whatever you're going to do, let's fortify the people. Jehoshaphat doesn't do that. He gathers all the people together, and what do? They pray, and they fast. Really, fasting as a military strategy, that's not going to help you in a time of battle here. We need to be strong, not stop eating, you know. We get a little... Maybe nobody's hungry here for the next week or so. We had way too much. I got an idea for next year. I already talked about to Anna. She liked it. Way too much food. You know, like, I don't need it. But, boy, you get really weak. Anybody spend any time, like, just not eating or fasting? And boy, how weak you get, how quick. Oh, yeah, and we have this battle coming. That's not a good, physically doesn't seem like a good decision. But it was in the Lord's hand. And he prays. He prays to the Lord. And then in verse number 14, so he's praying. Well, let's look at for 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. This is when Jehoshaphat is praying in front of all the people. And then in verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, so Jehaziel the prophet, now he stands up. Okay? Jehoshaphat had prayed, and there's a time of silence. I don't know how long that was. And then Jehaziel stands up and he speaks. He speaks. And look at what he says in verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." So you know what they do? They all get together, and they bring their, you know what they bring? They bring their musical instruments out with them. You know, somebody grabs the tuba, somebody grabs the clarinet, the trumpet, the French horn, the oboe, you know, and they're going out to battle. I mean, you can't really do much with that. You know, maybe you can hit somebody with a tuba, but after that, you know, you're not going to be getting too far. And they go out, and they're singing. They're singing as they go out. I believe they're probably singing like Psalm 139 as they go out. And they go out, and they stand there, and they just watch as the Lord basically causes these three nations to implode upon themselves. You know, the one side ambushes the other, and then they just stand there, and they're singing, and they're watching the Lord deliver this enemy right into their hand. Could you imagine that? Here's this nation that's coming to destroy you, and all you do is pray and fast, and then you go out and you sing, and you watch the Lord deliver all of that right into your hands. That's the result of somebody who's been following after the Lord, making wise decisions. Somebody, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not the typical, well, what we would think to do. Hey, let's fortify. All right. So sound the alarm. Everybody gather together. Let's get the strong men. You know, let's set up the perimeter. No, he doesn't do any of that. He responds correctly to this trial and just gives it to the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do? Oh, go out and sing? All right, let's go out and sing. Not eat and pray and fast? That's what we'll do. And God delivers them all right into his hand. And then for 3 days, they're out reaping the spoils from the battle. The name of the valley in verse number 26. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barak, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Barak unto this day. You know what the word Barak means? A blessing. Blessing. This is the place where the Lord blessed us and delivered us. And they were singing for 3 days while all of that was going on. Wait, it went from seemingly slaughter and disaster. A marching band going out against a huge army. And God delivered them all into their hands. And he took care of it because they honored and they trusted him. God took care of them. You know, I wonder, make sure that you're pleasing God. Jehoshaphat was pleasing God in his ways. Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So many times we just want men to be pleased with us. Other people. I want to please other people. I don't want to step on anybody's toes or cause a problem or cause waves. But Jehoshaphat wasn't worried about that anymore. He had done that, okay? But it's a shame because Jehoshaphat, although it appears he learned that lesson, he didn't really learn that lesson. Because if you read at the end of chapter 20, he gets hooked up with one of Ahab's sons there's this trade that was going on in the Mediterranean Sea. And he's like, hey, if we build a bunch of ships, we can, you know, sail on out and make a killing on this. And Jehoshaphat joins up with him. And what does God do? He destroys all the ships, destroys all of them. You know, like, boy, you'd think he'd learn his lesson. And then Ahab has another son who reigns later. And he says, hey, I bet you if we fought the Moabites together, God would deliver them. And Jehoshaphat goes out with him and goes to fight against him. And it's only because of Elisha gave them water in the wilderness to drink. Otherwise, they would have died of thirst out there. You know, even though Jehoshaphat served the Lord and pleased the Lord with as much of his life, he still had that problem with always trying to please men. Like when Ahab came to him and his two sons came to him, he said, I'll try to please you. I'll try to help you. And not say, no. This is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. I don't approve. The Lord does not want me to join up with you in that. It's really a shame. So if we could just learn the lesson, to follow after the Lord with all of our hearts and not be divided and try to please one, to please him and please the world. I wonder, is your heart bent on pleasing God first and pleasing him only? Because that's the real question. Are we divided or are we fully sought to please the Lord? Because that's what's important. You know, when we're in eternity forever and ever and ever, it's all about him. It's all about him. It's not about Ahab. It's not about his sons. None of that. It's not about whatever idol is that we have a constant struggle with. None of that matters. None of that matters. We just get caught up in things so much. So have a heart that is only pleasing the Lord. All right, so next week we'll look at Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram. So we kind of had two consecutive kings. You know, Asa did right for most of his reign, and then Jehoshaphat did, he was one that pleased the Lord. And next week we'll see Jehoram. And unfortunately, he does not follow in his father's footsteps. You'd think, boy, two in a row doing right, but all comes crashing down with Jehoram. So we'll look at him next week. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for how you try to help us in so many ways. Thank you for the wisdom of your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us let it seek into our hearts, Lord, and to follow you in all of our ways. Lord, it's all about you, Lord, and thank you for your son. Lord, thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for everything you've done for us. I pray that everything that happens in this building will just give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.